You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Thank you. Please turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship. Good morning. That was really weak. Good morning. You know what day this is? Palm Sunday. The beginning of Holy Week, they call it. Every week is holy. We really look at Palm Sunday today as just a real celebration. Beginning, if you'd open up your bulletins, we're going to, first of all, I'm going to begin by canceling something. The board meeting this week, which was on Tuesday, Julie and I are singing in Halleck at the senior station. We would have to start late, and that wouldn't work for some others, so we'll let you know when the meeting's going to be. So please pass the word. There will be no council meeting this week or board meeting, and we'll get back to you on that. Okay, if you'd look in your bulletins then, 4-H Share the Fun performance will be today at LCC at 4 o'clock, and it definitely will be a challenge without a projector, we just found out this morning. The rear one does not work, so please pray about that for all the kids and all those who are doing it that were probably relying on words being on the back wall. So it makes it a little bit of a challenge, but we will be taking care of that in the coming week, hopefully. Okay, next one is Learning to Love Your Bible will be held at 6:30 a.m. Tuesday. The goal is to have accountability in reading our Bibles, prayer, and a time of fellowship. So please contact Ida if you have any questions at all. Next, the Good Friday service will be this Friday, of course, at 7 o'clock at the church. There is also a play that John Erkus is directing, Loving the Least, a community Easter play about the love of Christ, and we have several that are involved in it from this church and other in the area, other churches. That will be held also on Friday, on Good Friday, and on Saturday at 7 o'clock both nights at the Heritage Christian School. So please pass the word. So hopefully we'll have just a really good turnout for that. There will be no confirmation or Sunday school next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, giving everyone a chance to get back home to their families and to celebrate the resurrection together. I keep going in and out, don't I? Okay, Wednesday, April 19th, the building has been reserved in the morning for ACT testing. Shannon Hunstead, our superintendent, has asked me to reserve it for that day. So this place will be full of kids taking tests. So we just don't want any other activity. We need a quiet. So if you could just respect that, that'd be wonderful. On April 19th, that's on Wednesday. Also, that Wednesday and Thursday, I am driving the sixth grade class again to St. Paul to tour the Capitol and do things. So I'm going to be out of town for those 2 days as well. On April 21st, on Friday, April 21st, we will be holding Secret Church. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. I believe that's still there. We need to order study guides, and you need to sign up by April 12th, so you just got just a few days left. And Jordan Vega's heading that up, so Jordan, thank you for that. Saturday, April 22nd, head to Renee Joshik's for scripture doodling at 10 o'clock. Is that right? Sounds interesting. That's awesome. Scripture doodling, 10 o'clock on April 22nd. Also, the 4-H drill team will be hosting a fundraiser. It'll be a Papa Ridge concert, a pie social, a bake sale on April 23rd. And that's at 4 o'clock right here at the church. And just a note says, come early at 3 to meet the drill team members and their horses. Are they coming into the church with the horses? They'll be outside? That would be fun. Okay, also our quarterly meeting is on April 30th at 9 o'clock. Pancake meal will follow the worship service with a free will offering going towards VBS. April 30th is also the last day of Sunday school. April 30th, there's also another Poplar Ridge concert in Halleck at the City Hall, and I don't know the time yet. I'm waiting for the Catholic Church to let me know. We're doing a fundraiser for a mission trip to Jamaica for them. So, any other prayer requests, or I mean any other announcements? Not prayer requests yet. Ida. Is that something I can go to, Ida?
It's women's retreat.
I know, but you invited me to the Red River Valley Women's Ministry. That's not a place I'd even want to be close to then. No. Thank you, Ida. Okay, anything else this morning? And Ida and the rest of the ladies hosted the Red River Valley Covenant Women's this year. That was just this week, and it was fun for me to sit here and just be a part and hear that the ministry, the incredible ministry that God is using. All these.
Our district is the only district that's still on.
It's the only district. Isn't that something? In all of the Northwest Conference, our district is the only one that still has an active women's ministry group. So, I just really want to thank you for all of that, for all of you who are involved. Very, very much a blessing. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Bob.
Okay, our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all, were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Prayer requests. John?
Oh. Which John?
Eberly. Is that thing actually working? Okay.
Not very well. We'll just have to speak loud.
Okay, I'll repeat again like I did the other day. So the request from Renee was for the Gilley family. They got a funeral today and lots of stuff going on. Julie? Okay, so this is from Jordan Vig. They're looking for Ryan's medical papers and need those to come through rather quickly. If they do show up, they can fly out on Tuesday. Otherwise, that has to wait for 2 weeks and another delay. So we really want to avoid that. Anything else this morning? Yep, I've got that down. Thank you very much, Jim. Sandy.
Yesterday morning, so I'd like prayer for his family and
So Lamon Cook passed away yesterday, so there'll be a funeral upcoming. And so, okay, anything else? Jody? Okay, so the prayer request there is for Ricky Lawrence, and he's having lots of difficulties medically, in particular with some blood clots and things. Faye?
Prayer for healing for Karen Mold and her cancer and for her chemotherapy treatment that she started.
Okay, thank you. Karen is struggling with cancer, just kind of getting undergo with things. So, I saw John? It's okay, John. It's a real short trip for you, so it's all right.
but also that the spirit moves and the message affects people as God wants it to.
Okay. All right. Oops, sorry, Jordan. Can you speak, Jordan, or? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful that we can come before you this morning. We can bring our prayers and petitions and know that we'll always be heard. Please, Lord, we want to lift up the family of Elsie Steen as she's gone to be with you in this last week. And we pray, Lord, for just a time of comfort for the family and a time of rejoicing and remembrance for them as well, Lord. And Lord, we want to lift up the family of Keith Gilley today, Lord, an extremely difficult situation. Just a lot of things that are going on there, then lots of struggles, and with a funeral this afternoon, Lord, please, God, just give Teresa in particular a sense of peace as much as you can there, Lord. Just so hard to understand and so, so difficult for them, Lord. And Lord, we want to just lift up and praise you for helping John Eberle, and he's free of symptoms of depression right now, Lord, and we just pray, God, that that'll continue and that John will just continue to do really, really well and just be a witness for you, Lord, and all the things that you can do. Lord, we want to watch over the situation with the Viggs as far as Ryan's medical papers. We pray, Lord, that those things will come through quickly, Lord, and they'll be able to fly out on Tuesday, and if they do, please, Lord, provide them safety on their trip. Otherwise, provide patience for them again, Lord, should something decide to get hung up. And Lord, we want to watch over the family of Lamon Cook as he's passed away here yesterday. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to get to know him here in our community through the Wilson family. And we just pray, God, that you'll be with that family as they go through this time as well. And Lord, we want to lift up Ricky Lawrenson, who's had a lot of medical issues that have been going on. And we pray, God, that with these blood clots, that those would calm down and that things would not get worse. And we just pray, Lord, that your will be done in his situation, Lord. And God, we want to lift up Karen Bold, who's beginning her chemo treatments for her cancer. She is a very, very strong woman, Lord, and I just pray, God, that you'll be with her and her family and just heal her, Lord. Again, that's always such a challenge. Lord, we want to also lift up those who are struggling with colds. It seems like they just never seem to end this season. And then there's also those who have had recent surgeries with Lily and Brooke and Greg, and we just pray for continued healing for them and that things will go exactly as they should medically. And Lord, we also want to mention the play that's coming up on Friday in Carlstead. We pray, God, that it's a tool that can be used to lift you up and to get your message out there. Please, Lord, just watch over Galen as he delivers our service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Also, the flowers up here I was going to mention are from Elsa Steen's memorial service celebration of life. So it's beautiful. I just would like to thank all of you for reaching out and just remembering a very special lady. So if I could have the ushers come forward for the offering. Is there special music? It's the praise team. We're special music. So if the ushers would come forward and the praise team would come up, and please sing along with us as we begin by singing "Hear Our Praises." And our mission can up front for the kids is still for Feed My Starving Children. And I know some of you got to go and pack food, and that was great. Thank you for doing that as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and we praise you for all that you do in our lives. We pray that you'd bless our time together. We pray that you'd bless this offering, Lord, and guide us as we worship you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Please sing along with us. Sing your praises.
You live, you die, you said in 3 days you would rise, you did, you're alive.
9,000 reasons.
On this day, nearly more than 2,000 years ago, you walked or rode a colt triumphantly into Jerusalem. and people were excited, and they were praising your name. But they were praising your name for all the wrong reasons. They were looking for an earthly king and someone to display earthly power. Lord, help us not to make that same mistake. Help us not to look to you for the wrong reasons, but help us to look to you to change us. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. Today, I'm going to continue on with my five-part series that I feel God has been leading us to, what it means to be a blessing. But I also want to recognize this day as Palm Sunday. This is a very important day. It's the start of what is called Holy Week, a lot of times by the church, or Passion Week, they call it. It's actually just an account of Jesus' final week on earth, just 7 days, 7 days. And our Lord was resurrected from the dead. The last few days of Jesus' life before his resurrection and death, his crucifixion and his resurrection were filled with so many emotions. It was filled with drama and controversy. There was sadness. There was confusion. There was fear. There was wonder and excitement. And so Holy Week, as many call it, begins today, Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. And I'd just like to just look at that first before we get on with the rest. Our sermon slides, are they there? Hopefully. Being a blessing. Luke 19, starting in verse 28, going through 44. On this day, when you think about it, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. But as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That was his journey into Jerusalem that day. And then we look at Monday through Wednesday. Following Palm Sunday, we find the cleansing of the temple. Jesus, just one time in his life, saw the temple and he saw the money changers and he cleansed it. He just saw so much corruption going on. He saw the dishonesty among the changers. It's written in chapter 19, verses 45 through 48. On Tuesday, we remember Jesus traveling with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, where he taught them about the last days. And then on Wednesday, Judas Iscariot first conspired to betray Jesus for just 30 pieces of silver, selling out his Lord and Savior, as is written in Luke 22, 1 through 6. And then on Thursday, Jesus has his Last Supper with his disciples, and Judas Iscariot leaves the supper table to betray Jesus. Which brings us to what Jesus instructs his disciples to do after Jesus is gone from them. And I'd just like you to look at the account of that in John 13, verse 31 through 35. So after Judas was gone, it says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. What a legacy to leave. Judas just betrays Jesus. Jesus knows what's coming, and yet he says, this is the command I'm giving you. I'm going to leave you in just a little while, but this is the command I give you. And that same command is for you and me today. As you know, we've been doing a 5-part series on being a blessing. And being a blessing is basically exploring what it means to love our neighbor, to fulfill the great commission that Jesus says and talks about in Matthew 28. And I wonder how many times, if you've read that story and of that great commission, and you've put your name in there, you just think this is just God's or Jesus' command to his disciples? It's far, far more reaching than that. Being a blessing. In doing that, we are exploring what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, we have intentionally prayed for specific people, haven't we? We have people in our hearts and on our minds that we feel God has led them to us to pray for. And so we began in part one with prayer. And then we went to part two when we talked about what it means to listen with care. And after I spoken that a couple weeks ago, Peggy came up to me and said, did you know that listen, if you rearrange the words, you get silent? I thought, isn't that true? We need to be silent. So many times we want to fix things. We want to make things better when God is just telling us, just be quiet and listen. In order to intentionally listen, we need to intentionally be silent. I've heard it said one time that listening may be one of the greatest ways to show our love and concern for someone who is hurting. And so we're called to pray in love, and we're called to listen in love. And so today we're going to look at part three, and we're going to talk about eating together. Now, Renee mentioned to me, Pastor John Weiss, what he mentioned in his book, Jesus Prom, and how he spoke about so much of Jesus' ministry involved food. He was either serving food, he was either going to eat, or he was coming from eating, or he was sitting with his disciples, sharing in a meal, or he was going to people's homes. And some of the people that Jesus ate with, the Pharisees weren't really thrilled about. Earlier in Luke, before the account of Palm Sunday, Jesus was with what is called tax collectors and sinners. In Luke 15, we could just go to Luke 15, 1 through 7. And as Bob read, I'd like to do it again. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country? Go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. Let's have a party. I've found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. Jesus goes on to speak about the lost coin. And then he goes on to talk about the prodigal son. It seemed there was a theme there of wanting to save something that was lost, right? Now, sharing a meal seems like a pretty simple thing to me. And yet it can be a very sacred thing. Sharing a meal is almost to me like a universal act of just building a relationship. Intentionally eating together creates time and space for us to just sit together. Just share a meal, share our lives. What a great way to build a relationship with someone. Now, I've shared this story with you before by Pastor John Weiss, but I was asked by someone else to share this again today as we looked at the gift of sharing food together in ministry. We're just going to look at just a couple of these, but this first story goes like this. John writes, he said, "My wife and I, Allison, were in a restaurant eating lunch with an older couple, or when an older couple came into the section where we were seated. They were probably in their late 70s, and the man was pushing his wife in a wheelchair. It looked to me as though she had suffered a stroke. After the waiter set the menus down on our table, my wife and I both watched as the husband knelt down in front of his wife, gently held her hands, and spoke to her with a smile on his face. It was as though there were no other people in the restaurant, just the two of them. He didn't seem concerned with anyone other than his wife. He put the brake on the wheelchair, and then he scooped her motionless body out of the chair and set her down in the booth. Next, he situated her napkin and plate and silverware where she could reach them. When her food came, we watched him as he cut up her food and fed it to her. And from time to time, he got up from the table to wipe her mouth. At one point during the meal, I watched him lean across the table, take a hold of his wife's hand, and smile at her as he began to speak. Suddenly, tears began to roll down her cheeks as he spoke. And my wife, Allison, asked me, 'What do you think he's saying?' I said, 'Maybe something like, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health.' Sometimes one of the greatest ways that we can show God's love to someone is simply just by eating together, by showing that you care, that you want to do life together. Now, to me, the Bible is so clear that God is all about relationships. He sent his son Jesus to be our brother, to be our Savior, to be our Lord. It's hard for me to even imagine being called a joint heir with him, someone who lived this life perfectly and loved us so much. Jesus was all about relationships and what it means to truly love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So what if loving our neighbor just for one moment is God calling you to just sit down and eat together? Maybe just a drink of water. Think of the story of the Samaritan woman. From the Gospel of John, Jesus walked intentionally 20 miles to give water to this, to receive water from this woman, to share life with her. I'd like you to just listen very closely. I'd like to read it to you. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to John chapter 4. If not, just please sit and listen closely and hear the heart of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Verse 4 says, now he had to go through Samaria. And guess what? He didn't have to go through Samaria geographically. He went there because he had to, because his father had sent him there. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food, it says. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered her. He said to her, everyone who drinks the water will be this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to Jesus, she said, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus told her, he said, go call your husband and come back. What a strange answer. And she replied, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman replied, or said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared to her, he said, I who speak to you am he. Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I am telling you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper must be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows, another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Goes on to say that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Jesus walked 20 miles out of his way to have water with someone that he should not have had water with, to do life with someone he should not have done life with, according to the Pharisees. Let me just share another story with you. Think about that. Think of the man and the woman at the restaurant. Think of Jesus and the Samaritan. And now think about this story about Mark. Another story from Pastor John Weiss. There was a violent boy named Mark in school where I taught in Haiti. I saw him one day hit a female teacher. And so I intervened on her behalf, and as I pulled him away, he bit through my hand. Let me just say, responding instead of reacting is never easy in a moment like that. So I wrapped him up and I picked him up, demobilizing his arms. As I carried him out of the school, he kicked me repeatedly and attempted to headbutt me. Carmen, a friend of mine, who's the director of the school, was in her office, so I took Mark to her office. When I set him down, he calmed down. As a teacher myself, I had a front row seat that day to a lesson that I will never forget. God used my friend, you see, Carmen, that day to teach me about dying to myself, about doing life with some unlikely person. She taught me how to love my neighbor. Carmen didn't say anything to Mark. Instead, she went outside. She bought some fruit, brought it back to her office, and I watched as she cut it up, placed it on a bowl, said, and simply handed it to him. Tears began streaming down the boy's cheeks and mine as he devoured it like he hadn't eaten in weeks. You see, Mark wasn't my enemy. Mark was just hungry. And he was frustrated with his situation. Sometimes sharing food with someone is the best way to show the love of Christ to them. Now, today is Palm Sunday, and it is the day that we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This day in history is just 7 days away from Jesus conquering sin and death once and for all. Jesus was bringing and offering the world food and water that would never perish, that would sustain us forever. He was entering Jerusalem as a future king, so the people thought, but in just 7 days, many would see that he was bringing so much more than that. He was bringing salvation. He was bringing it on a colt that had never been ridden. On next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, Jesus leaves us with instructions. Before he ascends into heaven, I'd just like to read that out of Matthew 28. Is it there? It's not there. How did I forget that? Matthew 28, now you have to look in your Bible. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Whether we pray for someone, whether we are sitting listening to someone, or whether we're eating together, we are working for Jesus Christ to fulfill this great commission. As I was praying with Virginia this morning, she reminded me of a song by Matthew West. A song where Matthew West is saying, look around the world. Look at what's going on. Why don't you do something? And Matthew West says, in the lyrics, he says, God said, I did. I created you. So why don't we do something? Why don't we do something more? Make disciples. I can't think of anything better than to concentrate and focus on this Easter season. To take that command more seriously and to pray more intentionally and to listen and eat together with people who need the Lord. Maybe God is calling you to simply eat with a certain individual who thinks your faith is just crazy. Maybe they think you're just a little bit weird. Do you have the courage to go to them and say, let's go for lunch? Maybe God is calling you to eat with a Samaritan, like the woman at the well. Maybe God is calling you to someone like Mark, who is so hungry, he seems like an enemy. He seems like someone out of control. Maybe God is calling you to simply love a hurting spouse. Maybe your dad or your mom. Maybe a child or a friend or what about an enemy? Are you willing to love your neighbor as yourself? That's my question. No matter who they are. Like Jesus, may we enter what we call our Jerusalem in a humble way, ready to submit, ready to surrender to the will of God and how he calls us to love. Are you ready to eat with anyone this week? That is my challenge for you today, and I love to challenge you, you know that. Can you think of someone, and I put it in your bulletin on the sermon notes, the last one. Find someone this week, someone that you don't normally eat with. Who cares if they think you're weird? They probably already do, right? I'm so far past that, it doesn't matter. But God is calling us. He's calling us out today. I'd like you to think about that. I'd like you to think of the supper as they met in the upper room and Jesus was with the disciples and all of a sudden he tells Judas, go do what you need to do. And then all of a sudden the topic changes and he tells them to love one another. That's our job. That's our calling. Don't ask God, why don't you do something? Know that he created you. If I could have the deacons come forward, we will take our communion now. And I'd just really like you to focus on that as we head into this week called Holy Week, this Passion Week. Think of what took place as Jesus rode in today, and all of a sudden he's cleansing the temple. He's angry when he sees what the money changers have done to the holy place. Do we need one more deacon? We do? Okay. Can someone volunteer? I hope I'm still on. I am. If you are just a visitor here and if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please share in communion with us. Thank you. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you to take this communion on Palm Sunday, let us know in our hearts that it's not what you did here on earth. It's not the miracles that we should rejoice and follow after you, but it's what you did for us by dying on the cross and forgiving our sins. And help us to take this time to search our hearts and confess our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had broke it, he gave thanks, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together."
Dear Lord, we just praise you and thank you that we could come today and learn more about you and how to live a life that's more pleasing to you. I pray that each one of us could reach out to someone this week, and I praise you for your sacrifice. Amen.
Thank you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying to his disciples, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, and remember this day as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. We recognize him as Savior and as King of the world, Lord of our lives, our Redeemer. God, we just recognize that salvation is only found in him. We praise you, Lord. We pray that you would guide us, Lord, today. And as we go through this week, help us to think of the days of what was taking place. Father, as you spoke and as you taught, as you cleansed the temple, as Judas betrayed you, and you immediately tell the disciples, "Love one another." God, we praise you for that. We praise you for your faithfulness as you bore our sins, as you defeated sin and death once and for all. We praise you. We thank you for the words, God, that you have provided for us, the prayers that you wrote down for us. We thank you for the family of God. And so we pray, God, the prayer that you taught us to pray as your children. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Please stand and join us as we sing our closing hymn. What is it again? 226.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.